Good morning, University of Manitoba campus, and welcome to UMFM's information and entertainment program, Your Campus Today. For Monday, January 14th, I'm going to be your host, David Devane. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11:30 a.m., we bring you all the U of M news that's fit for your ears, plus keep you in the loop on just a few of the great events going on here at the U of M campus that you need to know about. On today's show, U of M students join a massive protest at Portage in Maine. The Astor School of Business launches a new Women's Entrepreneurship Knowledge Hub, and UMSU is putting forward a new strategy for providing funding for community groups, along with a little extra special guest host preview from my good friend Effa. All this and more coming up next right here on Your Campus Today. Winnipeg protesters flooded the Portage and Main intersection during rush hour Thursday in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en land protesters in BC. Members of the Wet'suwet'en First Nations have been attempting to block construction of the planned Coastal GasLink pipeline, which would run through their territory by setting up checkpoints along the proposed pipeline route. On January the 7th, the RCMP set up a roadblock near one of the camps and arrested 14 people. Multiple reporters and protesters reported that communication signals, namely Wi-Fi, had been disrupted at the time of the arrest. By January the 10th, a deal was reached with the RCMP that allowed construction crews to reach the site. While the nation's band councils have approved it, hereditary chiefs in the area say they are still opposed to the pipeline. The positions are two separate levels of First Nations leadership. While band councils are elected representatives of the land reserves in Indigenous communities, hereditary chiefs are community leaders wherein the position has been passed down through families. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was criticized for the RCMP's actions during a town hall in Kamloops, British Columbia, Thursday. He said he understood people's frustration and that the process would take time, adding that the current government has been doing a, quote, better job of reconciliation efforts. In Winnipeg, protesters carried signs in support of the activists in BC and called on local politicians to condemn the pipeline. River Steele Gias, a U of M student, said he came out to protest not just the invasion of the Wet'suwet'en territory, but all quote-unquote unsustainable pipelines being built. River Steele said, "Frankly, as we're harvesting the resources from this planet, the planet's throwing it right back at us with extreme weather patterns." Gias said it was provincial lawmakers, quote, sovereign jurisdiction and right to speak up on the issue. "I think with all provincial lawmakers, and this applies to every single province out there, it's up to them to do something about this. That's why the provinces were formed in the first place," he said. BC Premier John Horgan has expressed support for the pipeline project. The Winnipeg protest lasted just over an hour and comes after several other efforts. Protesters met earlier in the day to create signage at the University of Winnipeg Hive, and a 24-hour sacred fire was lit on the Manitoba Legislature grounds Thursday in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en First Nations. One person in attendance who clarified he would prefer to be referred to as a, quote, land defender, Ryan Beardy, came with his two children because it was the right thing to do. "I think it's about time, and I think it's also about setting a good example," Ryan said. His daughter, Chiana, 8, and son, Isaiah, age 6, carried signs that said, "Our rights, my future, and water is life." "It's about standing up for what's right in this country and raising the next generation," Beardy explained. "This isn't only about us, it's about them." The IH Asper School of Business at the University of Manitoba is now home to one of the 8 of the country's regional Winneman Entrepreneurship Knowledge Hubs and their nodes. The U of M's contributions will be amplified by the Asper School's newly established Institute for Leadership Development, led by Professor Suzanne Gagneau, one of the initial partners of this initiative. The Women Entrepreneurship Knowledge Hub, otherwise known as WEC, is a national network of researchers, practitioners, and key stakeholders designed to address the barriers and biases that can impede the success of female entrepreneurs. WEC, which is led by Ryerson University, has a goal of increasing representation in women in entrepreneurship and advancing sustainable female economic participation in Canada. Recently, the Honorable Mary NG, Minister of Small Business and Export Promotion, announced funding of $9 million toward this initiative. "We are happy and eager to partner with other regional nodes across Canada to further empower and support women entrepreneurs by bringing together the knowledge and initiatives of Manitoba organizations working on this critical area for women and our economy," Gagneau says. "We look forward to providing a knowledge hub for the many dedicated and leading organizations working specifically to support women's entrepreneurship in the city and the province. WEC will create an inclusive and supportive network that will amplify our collective knowledge and endeavors about what is needed to further support women and advance this important sector for economic and social well-being," said Professor Liza Porth, Associate Dean, Strategic Partnerships at the Asper School of Business. Our role in the WEC is exciting and will allow us to leverage and contribute to the work we are already doing at the Asper School, the Indigenous Business Education Partners, and the Stu Clark Center for Entrepreneurship, bolstering our local talent to drive our province's prosperity and ingenuity to greater heights. As a critical driver of economic growth, entrepreneurship can provide a pathway to economic stability in communities across the country. While more women in Canada are choosing entrepreneurship and self-employment as a viable alternative to traditional employment, research shows that barriers and biases remain. These barriers and biases are amplified for women in sectors outside of technology, for newcomer and racialized women, Indigenous women, women with disabilities, and women in rural or low-growth areas. WEC will address challenges that female entrepreneurs face by providing a coordinated network that fosters an evidence-based approach for how best to support women entrepreneurs, using existing knowledge and new research where gaps exist. WEC currently includes a network of 10 partner nodes and 37 supporters that reach more than 100,000 female entrepreneurs at different stages of development and more than 250 organizations across the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. The U of M's mandate as a regional node within this national knowledge hub is to provide outreach to the important organizations that serve the province. Manitoba's hub will specifically focus on breaking down barriers for women, particularly for Indigenous women and new immigrants. Supporting Manitoba institutions include the Manitoba Institute of Trades and Technology, Red River College, and the Information Technology Association of Manitoba. WEC is a part of the Government of Canada's Women Entrepreneurship Strategy and will track and report on the status of women's entrepreneurship in Canada and help mainstream organizations, financial institutions, and others to become more inclusive in their policies, programs, and practices. Located at the University of Manitoba, the IH Asper School of Business has thrived for over 80 years as an institution that educates the innovative business leaders of today and tomorrow. UMSU is putting forward a new strategy for providing funding for community groups. A motion has been put forward by the Governance Committee suggesting UMSU integrate with the what the committee is calling the University Community Initiatives Funding Policy into its student club policies. According to Jacob Sanderson, out of UMSU's governance budget, $65,000 goes to student group funding. UMSU's community groups funding come from a different levy and services groups levy, which comes out to approximately $100,000 per year, or $4 per student. About $52,000 of that goes directly to UMSU's four community groups, the Women's Center, the Student Accessibility Center, the University of Manitoba Indigenous Students Association, and the Rainbow Pride Mosaic. What we've seen is that up until 2 years ago, we only had three community groups. The Accessibility Center is quite new, Jacob Sanderson said. So it used to be that those groups would have about $17,000 each. Jacob Sanderson said UMSU received a request this summer to implement an international student community group, but also said it had been an idea years in the making. According to Jacob Sanderson, 2016 to 2017 International Students Representative Stefan Agambi put forward the idea first, but it was tabled at that time. I met with this year's international rep, Abu Bakr Ibrahim, as well as Chris Otizi, who is last year's international rep, and Salima Sudi, who is the president of the International Students Organization, he said, and they've requested an international students community group, which is very reasonable. Jacob Sanderson said the current funding plan is problematic because the services group's levy is fixed to inflation and can only be increased with a referendum. So without a referendum, every time we add a new community group to UMSU to try and represent more students, the issue is then we're depleting the funding available to the existing community groups. Should the motion pass, the CIF policy would integrate the community group funding into the governance budget, allowing the funding to, as Jacob Sanderson said, expand and contract as UMSU's board feels is appropriate. The CIF plan would also remove the designated community group's titles entirely and instead introduce funding for community initiatives. Jacob Sanderson said the funding allotted to the Women's Center as an example. The Women's Center gets the $13,000, but there's Justice for Women. There's a Women in STEM group, there's a Feminist Legal Forum, there's the University of Manitoba Consciousness Raising Association of Feminists, or UMCRAFT, led by ours truly, Christina Cherchenko. There's all sorts of different women's groups on campus that are limited to student group funding, he said. And so our plan is to have that the community initiative funding that all student groups or students want to promote the interests of the given community, and they can then access that freely. The plan would also propose to increase funding from $13,000 to $16,000 available to five community initiatives, the four current groups, and the international student community. According to Jacob Sanderson, the representatives from these communities would then be responsible for leading regular town halls where community members can show up and vote on where the funding goes, whether or not they are members of student groups. He added that the goal of these proposed changes is two-pronged: extra funding for these community groups and offering the communities further financial financial autonomy. Right now, the community group's bank accounts are UMSU bank accounts, so they serve as money-in, money-out accounts, where at the end of the year, if they haven't used their full funding, it's because an UMSU bank account that goes back into our retained earnings, he said. So they're not able to work on long-term progress. They're not able to invest in any sort of capital, even to the extent that student groups are. Jacob Sanderson will be holding a presentation on the CIF policy plan on Thursday and said he hopes if passed, the plan will be a gateway to greater student involvement. If a student's passionate about representing their community, we shouldn't designate exactly how they ought to have to do so to be able to get the most funding possible, he said. They should be able to join any student group they want, form any student group they want, or do something as an individual if they want to, and have UMSU be there to support them financially. The motion was tabled until February the 7th at the January 10th UMSU board meeting. This year, the College of Pharmacy students helped a family get what they wanted most for Christmas, a new home. Students raised over $3,000 in support of Habitat for Humanity and volunteered for the 2018 Build on the Bannatyne campus. Their efforts came full circle as the family moved in at the end of December, just in time for the holidays. It felt amazing, said fourth-year pharmacy student Marina Cameron. We're just happy to have helped. Cameron, along with Jenna Julie Esteban Villarba, who's also in third year, and Snimar Bali, second year, organized a fundraising social and samosa sale together with other research students at the College of Pharmacy. They also put on hard hats and steel-toed boots and got their hands dirty, helping this year's partner family build a home for their four kids. For the trio, all novices aside from assembling IKEA furniture, one of the most special moments was learning new skills and then helping to build and raise the first wall. To get to meet the family and to work alongside them and help them build their new home, it was a really rewarding experience, said Bali. They also picked up some construction basics that they'll be able to take with them into their personal lives when it's time for a little DIY at home. It was nice to do something hands-on, said Villarba. Usually it's just books, books, books. We've got to feel like we were physically helping and engaging with the community. It also gave the students insight into the efforts that go into fundraising, which was harder than any anticipated. Starting in June 2018, they sent out more than 100 emails soliciting support for the social and cash donations, in addition to organizing the event itself. I have a whole new respect for fundraisers, Cameron said. In the end, they say all the hard work was well worth it, knowing that they were part of an effort that will help make a difference to a growing family. They also plan to keep volunteering, whether it's for Habitat for Humanity or another worthwhile cause. It's always about remembering to give back, said Bali. We're going to be busy in our profession, but we'll remember to make the time to do something and help someone else out. Hello, everyone. Yeah, so we have a nice little interview going today. We're just going to do a pretty quick plug of an awesome new group coming on campus. And I have Efwa here to talk about it with me today. So say hello, Efwa.
Hi.
So right off the bat, before we get into talking about what you wanted to come on air, why don't you give the listeners a little something about yourself? You know, who are you? What are you all about? What's going on?
Okay, so as David said earlier on, my name is Efwa. I'm a second-year student in the Faculty of Arts, majoring in criminology. I also sit on the Arts Student Body Council as the Arts Science Director. I'm also part of a bunch of other student groups on campus, like UMSCAS and Peace of Mind.
Okay, well, that's awesome to hear. Thank you so much for just giving a little bit of description of yourself. And yeah, so I know that you wanted to really highlight what was going on with Peace of Mind today. So why don't we talk a little bit about that?
So Peace of Mind is an organization that started here in Manitoba at the high school level. And as those who were running the organization, as they branched out to post-secondary, they decided to also take it with them. So there's one at the University of Toronto and one at the University of Ottawa. So we thought that since it started here in Manitoba, it would be best to also start one here at the University of Manitoba.
Right, okay. And so that's sort of like what it is. So like, what is Peace of Mind really seeking to achieve?
So Peace of Mind looks to give people that struggle with mental health different platforms to express themselves. So through music, through art, through spoken word. We also are going to have an Instagram.
Peace of Mind, I think?
Yeah. So we have an Instagram page up right now. It's UM Peace of Mind. We're going to be having campaign this week leading up to the event. The event is Youth Against Mental Health Illness Stigma and is going to be taking place on campus, and it's still in the works, so we will keep people posted on when and where it's going to take place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I assume that all the details are going to be on your Instagram, so everybody who's listening, definitely smash that follow on UM Peace of Mind. You'll be able to figure out everything you possibly need to know to be able to go to their awesome event. I know personally, I, of course, am going to be there. I'm very much looking forward to it. And, of course, F was going to be there, so you can keep your eyes peeled for her. And now, yeah, is there any more you want to mention about it, sort of like what it means to you, sort of like any really important aspects of the group, that sort of deal?
With what it means to me, I think it's a really great platform for people to share their experiences with mental health, because I know personally that at like in my home, it's not something that's talked about a lot. And it wasn't something that I really thought, like, I really considered. I didn't think it was a real thing, you know? So I think that if people find themselves in that position, this can be a really great way to learn more about mental health. And they don't necessarily have to share their story. Just being there and just listening and just watching other people also share their story can also inspire them and also help them.
That's honestly extremely meaningful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
For sure. You're welcome.
All right. Well, everyone, Effa is actually going to be reading a couple of one or two news stories later on in the show. But for now, you just get to max and relax with Dave. And I just want to say thank you so much, Effa, for coming on and talking about UM Peace of Mind. I hope all of you guys check it out. Follow their Instagram page. Be aware. And always, you know, once they finally do smash out the details of their event, it's going to be on Post-Ed. So just want to let you guys know. So thanks, Emma.
You're welcome. The Sustainability Strategy 2016 to 2018 was a major stepping stone towards sustainability at the University of Manitoba. Building on the university's initial 2012 sustainability strategy and the work of the university's Sustainability Committee and Office of Sustainability. Since the 2016 to 2018 strategy was introduced, a variety of initiatives have been accomplished and celebrated. Our progress in sustainability to date has helped move the U of M from a STARS Silver to STARS Gold rating from the AASHE Sustainability Tracking Assessment and Rating System, STARS. This is a tremendous accomplishment for the university, which represents the overall commitment, effort, and support for sustainability from the campus community. As the current strategy timeframe is nearing completion, work is underway for a renewed strategy for the next 5 years. For the past several months, the Office of Sustainability, alongside the Sustainability Committee, have been engaging with students, staff, and faculty to hear what issues the campus community would like to see addressed in the renewal of the sustainability strategy. The vision of the strategy has evolved to include a more holistic definition of sustainability. The visionary principles, key goals, and actions in the renewed strategy reflect a synergy between the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, AASHE, STARS, the previous strategy, and comments from classroom sessions, key stakeholder meetings, and public consultations. During consultation sessions, the community was asked to envision what type of university they would like to see in 2030, as well as meaningful items they would like to see included in the strategy. The input we have received from staff, faculty, students, and alumni help frame the objectives and actions that are being proposed in Renewed Strategy. Join us to tell us what you think of the proposed new objectives and actions that will guide the university's sustainability journey until 2023 and set us on road for it to meet our 2030 goal. Light refreshments will be provided, and you will also have a chance to win a $25 bookstore gift card and sustainability price pack. All are welcome. Consultation sessions are as follows. Tuesday, January 15th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Brody Center, Bannatyne Campus. Tuesday, January 22nd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., University Center, Fort Garry Campus. And Thursday, January 24th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Defoe Library Entrance, Fort Garry Campus.
As a distinguished graduate of the university and a core faculty member for more than 30 years, former Dean Emeritus Dr. Douglas Ruth officially retired at the end of December. This past week, faculty and staff joined Doug in celebrating his years of hard work and dedication to the faculty with a reception in the EITC atrium, an atrium which he was instrumental in the construction of during his time as dean. Following remarks from current Dean Jonathan Beddoes, a group gathered outside the EITC where Doug unveiled a new sign titled Doug Ruth Laneway, officially recognizing the space in his honor. Since first starting his career with the faculty in 1987, Dr. Ruth worked in a variety of different roles within the Faculty of Engineering. He was the Dean of the Faculty of Engineering from 1999 to 2010, Head of the Department of Mechanical Engineering, and Associate Dean of Engineering for Design Education. Doug was the second of the University of Manitoba's three NSERC chairs in Design Engineering and championed new concepts such as Engineers in Residence and Industry-Based Design courses, both of which have seen tremendous success with students. Doug credits the success of his time as Dean to the many supports he had. I've always believed that a leader can do nothing, but without a leader, nothing gets done, said Ruth. So anything that was done and I was involved in, it was because of the achievement of others. Although there are countless instances where he was proud to be a part of the Faculty of Engineering, Doug says that what I'm most proud of is the students we graduate. We are providing Manitoba, Canada, and the world with some of the best engineering graduates on the planet. The U of M Bison lost to the Mount Royal University Cougars 4-1 Saturday, but may have lost something more important in the process. Winger Zach Franco fell awkwardly after a hit in the opening period and left the game. Manitoba's leading scorer was in a sling post-game and appeared to suffer a shoulder injury. Zach's been playing really well, some of the best hockey of his Bison career, Bison's head coach Mike Sorant said. That's a real tough break for him and for the team to have to go out with an injury right now. I haven't received an update yet, but let's hope it's not too serious or that he's not out too long. Unlike Friday night, where Manitoba was put in an early 2-0 hole, the Bisons got out to a strong first period thanks to a Liam Bilton goal. Brett Brooks carried the puck from the corner and lost it in a crowd. Bilton picked up the loose puck in the slot, spun, and fired, beating Riley Morris, low blocker, for the 1-0 lead. Mount Royal came back the other way and appeared to tie it up moments later. While the Cougars were crashing the net on a 2-on-1, a Bison's player was pushed into Byron Spriggs. Austin Adamson picked the corner while Spriggs was down, but after a conference by the referees, the goal was waved off. Late in the first period, there were multiple tense moments for an injury-riddled Bison squad. Spriggs was involved in another collision, and Jonah Wasilak was boarded. Both remained in the game. Along with those was the injury to Franco. The bad luck continued into the second for the Bisons. A dump-in bounced off the stanchion and into the slot for David Stevens. His shot was stopped, but Connor Chartier's off the rebound was not, and as he snapped one by Spriggs to tie the game 1-1. Adamson scored late in the frame to give Mount Royal a 2-1 lead. Heading into the third, then Chris Jerry and David Stevens added third-period markers to the ice in a 4-1 win. Manitoba has now lost six straight games to Mount Royal, stretching back to the 2018 playoffs. Mount Royal, meanwhile, clinched a playoff spot with the win. They're a good team and they work hard, Sorrent said. They play a full 60-minute game, and that's not where we're at yet. The Bisons will be on the road next week to visit the University of Regina Cougars. Puck drop for the game is 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on January 18th for the first game, and 3 p.m. Central Standard Time for Game 2 the following day on January the 19th. The U of M women's volleyball team returned to the court and welcomed 2019 with a split against the Thompson Rivers University Wolfpack. The Bisons kicked off the series with a 3-1 loss to the Wolfpack Friday at the Investors Group Athletic Center. Olga Savenichuk led the visitors with 25 kills, while Kearley Abbott returned to the Bisons lineup and slammed down a team-high 11 kills. Cassie Bijan kept balls alive for the herd and came up with a high game 20 digs. Kendra Finch and Savenichuk powered down 2 kills each early in the first set, and Savannahchuk's block led to a 7-3 lead for the Wolfpack. The visitors did not look back as Savannahchuk connected on 3 more kills to take her squad to a 1-0 lead in the match. Kearley and Josie Abbott powered Manitoba to a second set victory, combining for 7 kills. The Bisons dominated, and the set was capped off with Kelsey Jordan block. Errors plagued the home team in the third set. Manitoba climbed to a 10-5 lead before the Wolfpack strung together 8 straight points. Five of the points on the visitor's scoring run came off attack errors by the Bisons. Manitoba committed 13 attacking errors within the set, and visitors took advantage to win the tightly contested third set, 29-27. Savannahchuk was dominant in the fourth frame and hit down 9 kills. Keirley Abbott pounded down 4 kills in the set to help Manitoba keep pace with the Wolfpack. However, Savannahchuk and Thompson Rivers edged the Bisons 30-28 to take the set and the game. The Bisons came back with a vengeance to beat the Wolfpack 3-1 Saturday. Keirley Abbott powered the Bisons' offense with a game-high 19 kills, while Bujon kept multiple points alive with 19 digs. Savannahchuk led the visitors again with 17 kills in the match. This was Keirley Abbott's first weekend back from injury. "It felt really good to get back on the court," said Abbott. "Obviously, our team had to make adjustments throughout the first term, and they did a good job, and so it was nice to just get back on the court and get a win this weekend." Abbott said her team was the reason she was able to slam down so many kills in the match. "Our middles did a really good job of bringing one blocker with them, so it gave us a good matchup," said Abbott. The two teams battling in a thrilling opening set, with the visitors needing 30 points to put the Bisons away 30-28. The lead changed multiple times throughout the set, and Manitoba led 24-22 late in the frame. The home team could not shut the door, and the Wolfpack recorded back-to-back kills to keep themselves alive. Savannahchuk ended the frame with a monster kill to give the visitors a 1-0 lead in the match. Savannahchuk finished the set with a set-high 7 kills. Manitoba brought power to the second set. Jocelyn Coswin and Keirley Abbott each put down 4 kills, while Tori Stendler slammed down 5. The teams once again went blow for blow in the second frame, but Laura Findlay finished off the Wolfpack with a kill to help the Bisons take the set by a score of 25-22. The Herd played an almost flawless third set and committed just one error throughout the frame. Keirley Abbott connected on 5 kills and set her fourth was on the point that ended a late 7-0 Thompson Rivers run. Finch hit 8 kills in the set for the Wolfpack, but it was not enough to overcome the stout Bison's offense. Manitoba won the third set 25-20. Manitoba carried their momentum into the fourth set. Keirley Abbott hit down 7 kills in the set, and Cosman ended the game with a big kill as Manitoba took the final set 25-21. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be closing out today's show with a track from one of the many great participants in this year's Big Fun Festival. This is Toronto Bernice and their song, Passenger Place. Have a great day, everybody. I'm going to be back on Wednesday with more U of M news to keep you in the loop. I've been me, you've been you. My name is David Dufain, and this has been Your Campus Today.
A puffed edge hiding behind his glow, like your love passing through foggy and steady and slow. Passenger plane in the black cloud hangs a green hose watering a
Your Campus Today is a collaborative production between UM Today, the Manitoban, the Department of Student Life, and this station, UMFM 101.5. Thanks for listening, folks. If you have a story you'd like us to feature or want to send in feedback, please email us at campustoday@umfm.com.